96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We are counting down to Christmas, just like so many parents are. And even with a few days left, a lot of you are wringing your hands and digging deep into your bank accounts to make sure your children have the merriest of Christmases, you know, especially with Santa Claus coming to town. But tonight, we're talking about Christmas to your children, about the realities of it. What do you tell them, and when do you tell them? Well, joining me tonight are family strategist Charlotte Avery. She and her husband are the parents of seven children. Also, Dr. Mercedes Eubanks, behavioral therapist, parent coordinator, and associate professor in Howard University School of Education. We want to hear from parents about that come to Santa Claus conversation that you are having with your children or yet to have. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. And we do have a bit of a warning tonight. We're going to talk about Santa Claus, if you know what I mean. So parents with children within earshot of this conversation, you may need to make adjustments. Let us say hi, Dr. Eubanks. First of all, good to talk to you again. Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Good evening.
And Charlotte, good to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Where are the kids?
They're at home with Grandma.
All seven of them,
all
man.
Seven.
I tell you, I just get tired thinking about that. Okay, so I'm going to ask you because I forgot to mention also Dr. Eubanks is also a mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So you're definitely qualified for this conversation as well.
Thank you.
But seven kids, Charlotte, do kids ever just get out of control when it comes to Christmas?
Yes, they do. They do. I mean, you know, kids are so excited and they're excitable about Christmas. They're excited about winter vacation. They're excitable about Santa Claus. They're excited about all things Christmas. There's no doubt about it. Their toys, the things that they want, and their list is incredibly long and it never ends, you know. But yeah, they do get out of control.
How do you handle out of control kids when it comes to Christmas? And first, your oldest is how old?
13.
And the youngest is?
14. I mean, I said 14. She thinks she's 14. No. The youngest is 4.
Okay. So 13 to 4.
No twins.
Oh, okay. There you go. So how do you handle that out of control excitability that children often bring to the Christmas holidays?
Well, you know, for us, one thing that we started doing a few years ago with our children is we started having them divide their Christmas list into fours. And TV people in radio land can't see this, but I brought this with me so you could see it.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah. So for our children, we actually make them take a piece of paper and divide it into fours. And it's divided in something you want, something you need, something to read, and something to seed. Their seed area is what they need to give away. And what they give away has to be something that's not broken, it's not tattered, it's not missing an arm or leg, mm-hmm. you know, or anything like that. But it helps them to keep their Christmas list in perspective. So their whole list can't just be things that they want. And we're teaching them, you know, to know the difference between what's a want and a need. And because we think that reading is important, they have to put some books on their list too.
Dr. Eubanks, you have two children?
Yes, I have an 8-year-old daughter and a 3-year-old daughter.
So what kind of conversations are you having with the 3-year-old and the 8-year-old about Christmas?
So they get every commercial that comes on, especially for my 3-year-old, I think this year she really gets it. And she's like, I want that. I want that. I want that. So we talked about a Christmas list. and she can't put everything on the Christmas list, and we limit, because she knows now how to count, we limit it to 5 things. So they could put more than 5 things, but they're going to have to figure out what are the 5 things that they really want. Mm-hmm. So she will go through a magazine, will copy pictures, because she may not know exactly how to, of course, write it, but will pick out things that she wants through the some of the advertisements. She'll circle it, but at the end, she has to pick out 5 things that she really wants.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about talking to your children about the realities of Christmas. What do you tell them? And when we're talking about your finances, the gifts they want. And of course, we're going to be talking about Santa Claus. And so if you haven't had a Santa Claus conversation with your children and they're within earshot, you may want to make some adjustments related to that. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Janine, calling from District Heights. Janine, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Of course. Well, I tell my children from a very young age that mommy works very hard to make this money to buy them these gifts, so I'm not giving credit to anyone else besides myself.
Okay. So I take it no cookies and milk put out late at night?
No, unless they want me to eat it, but no, we don't do that. No.
So
I agree with the mother in terms of having that conversation prior to Christmas. Mm-hmm. You know, you definitely want to start having the conversations around gifts, you know, around their birthday, throughout mm-hmm. the year, because parents start the pattern of how much they give throughout the year. So if they're constantly giving, then the kids are going to have a laundry list of things that they're going to want mm-hmm. because they're used to getting a lot.
Mm. Right.
So when, Dr. Eubanks, do you believe you should have the conversation about gifts? And do you need to make some adjustments in your head before you have that conversation, because parents have a tendency to go overboard?
Yes, definitely. And again, I think that that's the pattern that you start very early on. I think some parents give gifts as a sense of guilt because of the maybe not being able to give a lot of time to their children. Also, in terms of the, you know, every time this, you know, you go to the store, oh, you can get this, you can get this, you can get this. So the expectations are, okay, well, if I say I want it, I'm automatically going to get it, you know, throughout the year. So it shouldn't just be around Christmas, you know, that you have a conversations about, you know, that behavior perhaps may be tied into gifts or, you know, just like they have the Santa Claus naughty versus nice. But if a child misbehaves throughout the year and, you know, if you know, or has difficulty with their behavior throughout the year, but they're getting still a lot of gifts, why now, all the, you know, because of Christmas, they're not going to get it, you know? So
right.
I think the parents start the conversation very early on. And again, parents set the mood, the mold. They start their behaviors. If children are seeing their parents are constantly buying themselves gifts, so then the child is also going to think, well, I can constantly get gifts too.
What about that, Charlotte? I think Dr. Eubanks makes an interesting point. Some parents may feel guilty because they're working and they have so many responsibilities of trying to keep the home together that they aren't able to spend quality time. I can imagine that quality time issue with you with so many children is difficult.
So, you know, we live in a society where everything is about instant gratification.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we also we have a group of parents who Dr. Eubanks was talking about, you know, the who will over indulge their children in gifts instead of time. And for us, you know, because we have so many children, we are very intentional about how we spend our time with our children. And the other thing that we're very intentional about that some parents are not intentional about is we're intentional about telling our children no.
Talk to me about that. Because for a lot of parents, telling your children no is hard.
Well, see, it's not hard for me, though. It's not hard.
You're a mean mommy.
No, it's not.
I'm just kidding.
Telling your children no is also showing them that you love them, because the world is not going to always give them everything that they want just because they want it.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree.
And so the thing is that if you don't get into the habit of telling your children no, or teaching them how to wait for something, or teaching them how to work for something, then they're going to always think that they're entitled to have it, and you're not. In our house, you're entitled to food, shelter, and clothing, and water every now and then. Just joking.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that – now, on the no piece – is that no because I said so, or is it no with an explanation conversation?
Well, I believe in explaining things. Sometimes I'm like, no, you just don't need that right now. Mm-hmm. Or you might be able to get it, but later. But see, in our house, like for me, my husband, well, let's just talk about my husband. My husband is a no person. Like, his answer all the time is no, because then it's not, you know, well, maybe. Because to children, maybe means yes.
Yes, yeah.
Yes means yes. And I think I'll think about it means yes. Right. So my husband is the no dude, and I'll think about it or wait it out or what have you. Right. But I think you just have to really be intentional about how you do that. I just think it's important. I think it's important. And when you teach children that every time they want something that they can have it, then you're creating a monster.
Mm-hmm. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking to your children about the realities of Christmas. What do you tell them? When do you tell them? Lines are open again. 202-319-7810. Harriet, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Harriet. What's on your mind? Harriet, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Go right ahead. What's on your mind?
How are you this evening?
I'm doing just fine.
Hello?
Yes, go right ahead, Harriet. We're listening to you. Go ahead. What's on your mind? Can you hear us? Harriet, tell you what, turn your radio down. Try to call us back. When you call back, we will take your phone call. Dr. Eubanks, your thoughts about the power of no when it comes to Christmas gifts in the holiday season?
And I think it's very important to set limits. Mm-hmm. If you're always the yes mom or the yes dad, and then you have to be mindful of what is that teaching your child from others, you know, when they get the no from others, and then the child is not going to know how to handle that emotion of being told no.
Right.
So the limits should be set from the parents. You know, as parents, we also have to understand our children's attention span and interest change so quickly. Mm-hmm. So that gift that is hot on the market now and is off the shelf, and you get it for them, and you stand in the long lines, and you get it for them, and next thing you know, 2 days after Christmas, you find it in the corner somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Because they got something else that's better, or now they're back to their, you know, the technology, and, you know, they're back, you know, spending time with you. So that thing may not be, you know, that much of an interest. They're happy they got it. But it's short-lived. So we really have to ask ourselves, how much effort are we going to? What is the child really going to get from this? So I agree with Miss Avery regarding something that you want, something that you need, something that you can read or learn from, an educational toy, you know, and figuring out what fits in those categories,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, again, children are going to change very quickly, and they're going to go back to perhaps the toys that they're attached to, that doll that they love, or those, you know, Legos or other, you know, things that they've had for, you know, years or months.
Yeah, you make a really, really good point. Listen, I've got to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to pick back up with Harriet. Harriet, I'm glad you called back. So please just stay on the line. I promise I will take your phone call. Also, we're going to talk to Sierra calling from D.C. and Martrell calling from Germantown. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about having a candid conversation with your children about the realities of Christmas. What do you tell them? When do you tell them? We'll continue this conversation in just a bit, so stay with us. Do not hang up. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.
Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep.
HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking to your children about the realities of Christmas. What do you tell them and when do you tell them? My guests are family strategist Charlotte Avery. She and her husband are the parents of seven children, and they have no gray hair, so that's another conversation. And also Dr. Mercedes Eubanks. She is a behavioral therapist, parent coordinator, and associate professor in Howard University School of Education. She is also the mother of two beautiful girls. Now, we have a warning tonight, as we've mentioned all along, that we are talking about Santa Claus. So if you have an understanding of what I'm talking about, parents with children within earshot of this conversation may need to make some adjustments. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Harriet, calling from D.C. Are you there? Harriet, are you there?
Yes.
Good.
Can you hear me?
I can. Turn your radio down, please. What's on your mind?
Okay. My daughter never knew Santa Claus.
Okay.
When she was as early as a toddler, this is going back in the last century, Public Enemy had the song out, Don't Believe the Hype.
Uh-huh.
So I used that to say, Santa Claus is nothing but hype. All the commercials you see on TV, they're not coming into our house. They're mm-hmm. not talking to us. You will always get what you need. Every now and then, you'll get what you want. If you really want something and you want your day to be like Christmas, bring me home A's. Every report card, it can be Christmas for you. You get your wants.
How about
but
that?
December 25th is just another day. The time, what it's really for is to celebrate the birth of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going shopping, has nothing to do with the mall. We did exchange gifts, and she exchanged gifts, but we made them. I taught her how to bake. We made cookies. We would repot plants like Dieffenbachia. You can cut them off
mm-hmm.
and root them. So her teachers would get plants. People, one year we made cookies. We even made dog biscuits for our friends who had pets.
Wow. Okay.
But it was always, it's not Santa. Santa didn't do nothing.
Okay. Well, Harriet, thank you so much for sharing with us. We appreciate your phone call. Now, here's another question, Charlotte. When do you or have you and your husband had the issue or conversation with your children about the financial impact of Christmas on the family?
Well, as you know, we have seven kids.
That's right. Yeah.
So, you know, we let them know mommy and daddy work really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we do. We work hard doing what we do. And they know. But the thing is, too, is that we don't make them think that they get slighted because they have so many siblings. So as I was talking about how their Christmas list was divided, just because my son may have five things or eight things on his want side, he knows that he's not going to get all of those wants, but he knows he's going to get one thing that he wanted on that list. And let me just say, my oldest son, his birthday is also the day after Christmas.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And so Miss Harriet made a good point about what Christmas is really all about. And that's the other thing, too. We teach our children Christmas isn't about you. Christmas is about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what we teach our children. So, you know, or we say, you know, it's Jesus's birthday, you know, what have you. But then, like, so my son's birthday is the day after Christmas. My other son, his birthday was just yesterday. So, you know, he gets his, you know, big gifts and stuff like that on his birthday because we don't slight them. But they know that they're not getting every single thing that they want on their list. Mm-hmm. We're just not paid like that. And even if we were paid like that, they still wouldn't get everything that they want on their list because they have to. It is important for us to teach them that you just don't get everything that you want.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Eubanks, as you are well aware, not every family that wants to shower children with gifts can afford to do that. And we are also well aware that there are families out here that are struggling or let us not even say struggling, but those who are still having some difficulty getting, you know, the five things, but maybe they need to only get the two things or the one gift. How should a parent start that conversation with a child who perhaps is 10 years old about the financial impact of this season on the household?
Yeah, I think I agree with Harriet as well as Charlotte regarding explaining to the children really what is the reason behind the season and really what is the meaning of Christmas, that is more about experiences than the gifts, mm-hmm. that the gifts exchange is lovely when you're able to give something personal to that person, and it might be something that you purchase, but it also may be something that you make. You know, planning Christmas should be part of your, you know, a family's budget, whether they put $5 aside. I remember growing up, my mother used to be Christmas, so she put money aside, you know, her paychecks towards the Christmas club, so it's not so daunting when the season happens.
Mm-hmm.
That's a suggestion. Also, in terms of, you know, again, budgeting for the season and helping the children to understand that gifts are not just for them. Daughters out, and I recommend to families as well to make a list, you know, of the teachers and then setting a limit, whether it's $5 in gifts or whatever they're going to spend.
But Dr. Eubanks, let me stop you. Our producer is going to check your phone line real quick. I'm going to take a phone call, but we want to make sure that we're able to hear you clearly. So I'm going to let them handle that real quick. In the interim, let me go to Sierra. Sierra calling from Sierra. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, how are you? What's on your mind?
Okay, so I have a 12-year-old and a 4-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
So last Christmas, the whole entire living room was filled with gifts. And now I'm understanding exactly where you guys are coming from, where when you overcompensate, kids learn to not appreciate. And then you find yourself going in the tailspin trying to figure out what next, what should I do to keep up with what I did last year or to keep up with social media because I'm 30. So a lot of things is, oh, well, I got to make sure I outdo this, but it's not teaching them the values of anything. So how do you take back from what you already started, especially when they're set at that age where he's 12 and it's like, okay, well, here's 5 gifts where last year he probably had about 50.
Wow. Yeah. Keeping up with the Clauses or the Joneses, whichever one.
So, Sierra, I think that's a really, really great question. And I think really the answer to that is communication. I think it's saying, you know what, we did Christmas like this this year, but next year we're going to do Christmas like this. And I think once you start having that conversation and you start really having the conversation about what Christmas is all about, then I think that you start preparing them for the fact that, you know, you're going to get them gifts that are meaningful and not just a bunch of miscellaneous things or whatever just because they want them, but to really get them meaningful, tangible gifts. And you know what? The one thing that we do is we really teach our children what it means to give the gift of time. We teach our children that gifts and things will come and go. Toys will break. Something will tear. You won't even want to play with it. It'll be on your seed list next time or whatever. But we really teach them that people are irreplaceable. And so what we started doing is we started, you know, our kids now, they do community service projects. that teach them, you know, about giving the gift of time to each other as siblings, but also giving the gift of time to people who are in shelters and things of that nature. We do a toy drive in our home, and we give, I mean, this year we've probably given at least 2,000 toys away, but our children have a hand in that. They're the ones, their little hands put those boxes together. Their little hands stuff those boxes and things like that. And they know that there are other people in the world who are not them, who may not have a roof over their head, but somebody's going to get socks and somebody's going to get a toothbrush and soap and a toy or something that they may not have gotten. You know, so we teach them those types of things. And the other thing that that we do is, so because I have 7 children, we have a lot of teachers that get gifts. So I just, instead of getting like all these expensive teacher gifts, one thing that I did is I went to the store and I got these little mason jars. And this year, their teacher's gifts was a mason jar that had the red and green peanuts in it. Mm-hmm. And I put a little bow around it, and then I put a sign on it, and it says, "I'm nuts about you being my teacher. Merry Christmas." Mm-hmm. Now, that was for 8 teachers that we did this for, and with everything that I purchased, each one of those gifts only cost the equivalent of $2.64.
Mm-hmm.
For the teacher, but it was thoughtful, it was creative, it was very well thought out, and it wasn't about going broke.
Yeah.
For their teachers or, you know, something like that. But it was meaningful. And their teachers loved it. You know what I mean? And I think, you know, when you start making the holidays meaningful and you really start to strategize how you're going to, you know, how you're going to make it meaningful, I think it's a win that way.
Sierra, there you go. Thank you so much for your phone call, and Merry Christmas to you. Let me go to Martrell. Martrell calling from Germantown. Thanks for calling, Martrell. What's on your mind?
Hi, I just wanted to comment. Basically, I think I have a basically second a lot of what everybody else is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I have 2 boys, 7 and 13, be 14 next month. And, yeah, I get a list from them, and I do purposely not get everything on their list. But with the Christmas list and then just raising them in general, I do try to find opportunities to tell them no. And to let them know that they're not going to get everything they want. But it is hard. I don't want to say no. They're really wonderful children. And also what someone else said about, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, they have cousins and friends just getting all of this stuff. And again, they're wonderful boys. I'm like, okay, well, you all should be getting some of this stuff too, but I don't want you to think that, you know, you're privileged to it, or you're supposed to get it, or you have to get it. So I do take opportunities with Christmas and with other instances to tell them no, with effort, on purpose, even though I want to say yes and I can say yes and say no, just to, you know, teach them a lesson, like one of the other ladies was saying.
Okay. Well, Martrell, thank you so much for sharing with us. I appreciate your phone call, and Merry Christmas to you. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Albert calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. Hello. Albert. What's on your mind?
Hey, good evening, Brother Fisher.
Hey, I just
want to say good evening to your panel as well.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a very valid discussion to be having around this time. I'm a father of 11, actually, 2 which are stepchildren. From my first union of 26 years, I brought forth 8 children. We've never taught our children about Santa Claus. It's always been centered around Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
From day one, just never had a notion or never was led to celebrate Santa. I always felt the need to make sure that my children understood that since this was the birth of Christ, that we would celebrate him, and on their birthday, we would celebrate them. And so I always tried to make sure we were very, very conservative. So what we do is we do, you know, we've done trips, vacations we'll go on, and then we'll do maybe 1 or 2 gifts. You know, I'd rather, on their birthday, let them get whatever they want because it's their birthday. But if we're going to celebrate Jesus and say this is the birth of Jesus Christ, then we ought to be celebrating and putting our focus and our attention more on Jesus, because we say Jesus is the reason for the season. So I try to focus there. And, you know, again, I let them have a little fun and all, and we have a big fellowship meal. And, you know, we have a grandiose time, but we keep everybody very, very grounded, so that we don't allow them to lose sight and think that it's about a list and it's about all these material things, but that we are so thankful for the birth of our Lord and our Savior. And that's something I've been consistent with. Even now, my grown children, they have a choice. They don't feel the pressure of going out to monetize Christmas. If they want to go out and celebrate it, it's up to them. But they know that it's about Jesus' birthday.
Okay.
And they don't feel that pressure. So that's what we've done over the last 30 plus years.
Well, Albert, thank you so much, and I appreciate you sharing that with us as well. I need to take a break. When we come back, got a really, really big question for my guests. And this is about one of those big gifts, not the Xbox. We're talking about cell phones. A lot of kids get cell phones for Christmas. When should you give your child a smartphone, cell phone, the flip phone, whatever you give them? We're going to talk about that on the other side of this break. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We'll be back in just a moment.
Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow.
Business leaders on how to start.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. We continue our conversation about having a candid talk with your children about the realities of Christmas. Before the break, I brought up the issue about cell phones because a lot of kids are looking, hoping for cell phones, and this is often a big issue of debate. So, Dr. Eubanks, I'll start with you. How should parents address the issue of a cell phone with their children and getting one?
So each family has to decide in terms of what is the reason they're getting the cell phone. A lot of families start very early on now because of safety reasons. They want to be able to reach their child or communicate with their child in case of an emergency, and that's definitely understandable. But they have to also understand how their child in terms of their maturity, how well they handle responsibility. And so they don't have to go for the latest and the greatest in terms of versions or of the cell phone. Get them an older version. It usually tends to be less expensive, and you want to see how well they're going to keep track of it. For my youngest, for example, I didn't get her a cell phone. She's 8, but she has a watch that I could track her. I could monitor, when she's, I could communicate with her. She can receive calls only from me. So there's other devices, depending on your age of your child, that you may want to start off with that are less expensive than going for kind of the gusto and the most expensive, the latest.
Wow.
I agree.
That how Dick Tracy and Buck Rogers of you.
I agree with that. In our house, it's starting to become a discussion because, our son's getting ready to turn 14. And, he's out and about, he plays basketball. When he needs to reach us, we need to know that he can reach us and things like that. I think, when Dr. Eubanks was talking about the maturity, smartphones are great, but smartphones also help our children not to be so smart. And there are so many different risks in giving your kid a quote-unquote smartphone. I'm down with giving them my husband's old flip phone because I don't need them. I need them to call me and my husband. I need them to call home. I don't need them texting and chatting it up and going into different things. I mean, because, there's so many apps on these phones now, and now they have apps where kids are so tech savvy that they now have apps where you can block your parents even seeing what those apps are that you're on. And so, as a parent, you have to say, okay, what are going to be your boundaries? What are going to be your boundaries? Are you going to cave in as a parent and say, well, you can do Snapchat because your friends are doing Snapchat Well, I mean, look at all the cyberbullying that we see now that are happening and things like that, because parents have not set boundaries. And if they have set boundaries, their children have, some of them have chosen to go outside of those boundaries. Mm-hmm. So you have to be a smart parent and giving your child a smartphone, a cell phone, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Eubanks, when it comes to the Christmas season, what is the most difficult thing for you in dealing with the season and your children? Is it the finances? Does it have to do with gift giving? What kind of things do you struggle with?
So I always say that as a parent, as well as a therapist, I wear many hats. So mm-hmm. I try to do what I tell other people or suggest other families to do. At the Mecca Group, we constantly have families coming to me, and we could talk about, you know, co-parenting. We talk about, you know, communication. We talk about discipline. So I have to keep in mind, and sometimes that is a struggle. you know, when you're in that place, it may be a little bit more difficult. But for me, I try to keep to that. I keep to a budget. I really am now, you know, and I think with the foundation that my own mother laid in me was really about the experiences. I rather do an experience every Sunday with my daughters around Christmas than just make Christmas Day the big day. Mm-hmm. So we'll go. I started a tradition that we go to New York and we go to Rockefeller Center. We may go to a Broadway show. I'd rather be the gift, mm-hmm. the big gift, than just buying her an iPad.
Mm-hmm. 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 And you know, that brings me to this next point. And I remember, I guess I was about 9 or 10 maybe, and I remember my parents having this conversation with my sister and me about, you know, being flat-footed and plain-spoken as my mother was and is to this day. You know, she said, Christmas ain't gonna be real big this year. And I remember, you know, we were fine with that. And I think we were fine with it because, as Dr. Eubanks just suggested, even though we weren't traveling to New York and the like, but my parents were fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, while I'm not suggesting that parents have to be entertainers, but being part of this family collective. And my parents, particularly my mother, is an entertainer. That's another conversation. But, you know, my parents were fun.
Mm-hmm.
And still are. And I think that beyond those gifts, the gift of family, however your family is made up.
Right.
And, you know, you can have an enjoyable Christmas season, the day, you know, the food, you know, the games, whatever is happening. And I think that those memories are so much more important than the gifts.
I agree. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And actually, yesterday I wrote an article that just published for the National PTA, and it's called December to Remember. How to have a December to remember with your children and with your families. And I really broke that down just talking about exactly what you were saying. Like, for me, what I love about the Christmas season is I love when my children are home. I mean, some parents are like, oh my gosh, my children are home for 2 weeks. What am I going to do? For me, I'm like, yes, I get to have everybody home because I homeschool too. 4 in school, and then I have a preschooler. Mm-hmm. And so I get to have everybody at home, and we get to do so many fun things together, whether it's baking, being in our pajamas, making s'mores, taking a road trip to see their grandparents in North Carolina, or, you know, just doing fun things, just really just, oh my gosh, I love that. And so, you know, if you go into PTA.org, then you can, you know, see my article that really talks about it. It gives a whole bunch of strategies. And I use actually the word December And I break it down on how to have a December to remember with your children. And, you know, my thing is, like, I don't stress out about the house being such a mess because, listen, your children are home for 2 weeks. Just get over it, okay? Your children are home for 2 weeks. Nothing is going to be put back in place unless you're just going to be a drill sergeant, you know, or whatever. And so there are just certain things I think that as parents, you know, that we have to do, and we have to come to realization that, you know what, in order for everybody to enjoy each other and have a good time, then you just have to be, like, really real. Like, I have this sign in my house that says, the cleaning fairy will be here any day now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I have things like that, and I have another sign that says, you know, good moms have dust bunnies and piles of laundry, and it helps me to keep my life in perspective so I'm not, like, going crazy because, you know, there are 9 people that live in our home. But
I
you
need
can
a copy of that, and there's 3 people in this home.
But you can, there are so many things you can do. I mean, you can have family game night. I just talked about this when I was on Good Morning Washington a couple weeks ago, but you can have family game night, and you can have family movie night, and you can just do so many things that you can really enjoy your December and your Christmas holiday. You really can.
Dr. Eubanks, hold on. I only have a minute, but I want you to have the last word, so go right ahead.
I just wanted to thank you, but I just wanted to give kudos because I so agree to that. And I think that, again, it's not just December. It's starting those traditions throughout the year, having Friday movie night, having hot chocolate or, you know, ice cream, playing games. I think we have to get back to the board games, getting on the floor, doing puzzles. So, again, Christmas is just one day out of the 365 days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, there you go. Well, definitely well said. I really appreciate that. And, you know, I want to say, to both of you, you know, thank you both for coming in and sharing and reminding parents about the importance of really getting back in touch with your children, even if you have to think about it during the Christmas holidays and kind of start over, you know, because it's really important to connect with them. And I think, you know, the Christmas holidays, end of the year is a perfect time to do that. And certainly you don't want to wring your hands and dig into your wallet too deep. You dig into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably
Absolutely.
The best way to do it. Charlotte Avery, Dr. Mercedes Eubanks, thank you both for talking to us, and Merry Christmas to both of you.
Merry Christmas to you. Too.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Tuesday, December 19th. I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night.